84-year-old Bill Coffin has spent a lifetime in love with the woods.
What you're looking at is shagbark hickory. You'll see some pin oak in there, and cherry, I would say. And I don't see any maple, but it's in there.
What Coffin knows is not in there is the American chestnut. Sitting on the deck at his log home near Syracuse, he recalls playing childhood games, tossing horse chestnuts at his friends. But even back then, he knew those weren't the real thing.
We were told by our parents that that was not the real chestnut, that the American chestnut. They were very much aware of the disastrous blight, because it was almost like the sinking of the Titanic, you know.
The chestnut blight was first noticed in New York City in 1904, and within 50 years it killed as many as 5 billion trees from Maine to Georgia. The culprit was a fungus that piggybacked on an imported chestnut tree from Asia, says Dr. William Powell of the SUNY College of Environmental Science and Forestry.
The trees from Asia have co-evolved with this fungus and therefore had some resistance to it. But when it came to the United States, the trees here had never seen or never been exposed. The trees had no defense against the fungus.
But if Powell and his colleague, Dr. Charles Maynard, are successful, the American chestnut might soon have a way to fight back. They've bioengineered the tree to resist the blight. Turns out the fungus does its dirty work by making something called oxalic acid. That acid produces a dead spot or canker, which grows around the tree and strangles it. The scientists are taking advantage of a gene found in wheat that detoxifies the deadly acid.
What you're doing is put into a single cell of the tree, and you have to regenerate a whole tree from that single cell in order to have the gene in all the cells and be able to pass to the next generation.
In Powell's lab, technicians like Linda McGuigan are growing forests of little chestnut trees in petri dishes.
They were tested to see if the gene was actually incorporated into the genome. So now my job, what I'm doing is I'm going to grow them up, multiply them, and regenerate them into little plants.
Those plants eventually, with a little help from bright lights in a growth chamber, get big enough to produce pollen. Pollen with the new resistance-enhancing gene. And here's the gee whiz part. Remember all those dead chestnut trees? They're just dead above ground. Microbes in the soil kill the fungus, so millions of the root systems are still alive, sending up new shoots. They don't get very big before the blight gets them, but some get big enough to produce flowers that can be pollinated with the transgenic pollen. Some of the resulting trees will have the new gene.
This is a chestnut that we planted about 4 years ago.
At a SUNY field station in Syracuse, Andy Newhouse is looking for proof all this works. He's working his way through several rows of tightly packed chestnut trees, measuring the cankers on trees they've intentionally given the blight.
This particular tree we just inoculated with the blight fungus this spring, and the resulting canker has grown. I'll take a quick measurement here. To 47 millimeters long.
That's half the size than on a tree without the wheat gene. It's good, but not good enough. Now Powell and his team have added in a second gene, and preliminary tests show those trees to be the first American chestnut trees highly resistant to the blight. That, as they say, is a big deal. If the results hold up in field tests, Powell will apply to the EPA, the Department of Agriculture, and because these produce nuts, to the Food and Drug Administration for approval to distribute the trees.
My hopes is that 5 years from now, we will be passing out trees to the general public for planting.
His colleague, Dr. Maynard, says from there, nature can take over.
They're on their own, no longer planted, but they're only planted by the squirrels and the blue jays and everything else. And that's when the true restoration is going to happen, when we see them popping up where we didn't plant them.
It's a century-long project, they say, to restore the king. For WAMC, I'm David Shenatry with the New York Reporting Project at Utica College.